Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly. How are you? Look at you taking off the headphones.
I don't have to wear the headphones right now unless we get a caller, and we love callers, so please do call us at 323-203-0815. But otherwise, we have an in-studio guest today, but
yes.
Not yet. I get to see you with your hair wavy again.
It was so funny. I'm going to take this off so you can do it. For those of you who can't see, I normally wear my hair straight, and it's rare. I've worn it like twice wavy, and Deborah's seen both times, but it's because of the rain. I'm like, screw this. I'm not going to like spend 45 minutes straightening my hair and then have it frizz up like Shirley Temple when I go outside. So I was like, screw that. I'm going with the...
All natural. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
You could be Lady Godiva. You just grow it out a little bit longer.
Exactly.
Do you remember Lady Godiva?
I know Godiva chocolate.
I date myself. She was this gorgeous blonde with like hair down to her feet, and she would ride on a horse naked.
Oh,
and you know, yes,
that's funny.
There you go. I thought that was like a common household name.
I know Godiva chocolate. That's it.
Maybe she was the inspiration.
That's what
for
I'm
chocolate.
Thinking.
I won't go there. Somebody wanted to eat her. I don't know.
Different kind of show. So, what's going on with you? How was your week?
Good. I was just thinking about that. I don't have like nothing to report, which
nothing.
Is great. No, it was a mellow week.
Oh,
you know,
that's
I was
good.
Got really busy at work, of course, because I hadn't seen a couple of my patients for a while, and you know, taking a break and stuff, and so they came back, and just pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
good. All the family's gone. People
yes, you can
got
celebrate.
Back to where they belong, you know, all that. Although I do miss Missy.
Aww,
Tiffany's dog.
Yeah,
when she comes to visit and gets to hang out with me for a few weeks, I just becomes part of my world. Like I look out the backyard longingly. Where's Missy?
Wait, are you like thinking about getting a dog? Maybe
I'm
we can
always
convert
thinking
you.
About getting a dog,
yes.
But the cats would just—they would boycott the house.
Aww.
They would literally stand on the door with protest signs saying no. We have a sign on the door that says this house is for the cats only,
Aww.
And everybody you got to get their permission to do anything there.
Yeah,
so
rule the roost.
Yeah. I want a Pomeranian.
Oh, but they're yappy.
I don't care.
Okay.
I'll yap right back.
Tell them who's
boss. Remind me of you.
Yes, exactly.
That's
so cute.
How are you?
Everything's good. I went spinning today for the first time in, I swear to God, it's probably been a year. And I'm the most uncoordinated. Like, I am like the typical like Jewish white girl who cannot dance. And like, there, you know, spinning is like...
Yeah, you,
have to,
you got
like,
movement.
I need rhythm. And I'm just like an embarrassment. And it's so funny because I've never been to this place before. And so she thought I was new. And like after the class, she's like, you did really well. Like, you'll get better. Like you'll."
And you're like, I've been doing this for 15
like,
years.
And I'm like... yeah, thanks. I just sort of like waved it off because I just can't dance, but I love it and I love the music and it's dark, thank God. And so it was nice.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to tell you that I found a new chiropractor. This was a really good experience too, because my chiropractor, who I absolutely love, she retired, but she's very sort of conservative and traditional, you know, very simple. So I go to this guy and he's got props and toys and things. He kept bringing out in the office, like, well, try that and move that and sit you up there. And it's like, what is this, like an S&M chamber?
Yeah, it's some kind of tools.
But I feel great today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds tempting. I need a chiro.
You need a chiro.
So anyway, let's talk about last week. We had on Kent Heckin-Lively.
That's such a great name.
Heckin-Lively. So he is a lawyer and author of Inoculated, How Science Lost Its Soul to Autism.
Brilliant guy.
Brilliant.
So smart.
Really interesting. Really interesting, his take on it. And so if you missed that show, you can tune in on our podcast. And he talks about basically how science lost its soul to autism, pretty much, with covering up research and...
And that's what's cool about him, is he's not just spouting off things off the top of his head. This guy has done major research about stuff going way back. So if you missed that show, please go get it on iTunes or what is it on?
Stitcher. Yeah,
Stitcher.
Exactly.
Who comes up with these names?
I don't know.
Stitcher.
There was another one too, Blurberry. Blurberry.
Blurberry. Yeah, we're on that one too. It's like, should be Blueberry or Burberry or something. Isn't Burberry a brand of...
Yes,
like bags
like
and clothes.
Hermes and Chanel. We're high class.
Is it Hermes or Hermes?
It's Hermé. Hermé. It's French.
Exactly. It's Hermé.
Anyway, all right, let's get on with our in-studio amazing guest today.
This is very exciting. Just before we even prep that, this guest comes through us through our mutual friend,
yes.
Jack Saul, you know, the networker of the planet.
He's so
and
great.
I was setting up lunch with him, and he says, you know, I have this great guest for you. I'm like, bring it on.
That's so
and,
cool.
And so this is amazing. Yeah. All right, I will do the intro. We have today, as our guest, is Alonzo Cannon. He's the president of Cape Crusaders Children's Hospital Foundation. Before becoming the president founder of the Cape, I love that, Crusaders Children's Hospital Foundation, Alonzo worked with Chicago-based company Entertainment Marketing. His title there was communication liaison, and he was assigned to the company's client, Anheuser-Busch. I remember the Anheuser-Busch. They used to have their plant in Van Nuys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
My parents used to go beer tasting there, and they would bring us and sneak us some beer. All right, that explains a lot.
Exactly. It does.
Alonzo traveled the United States with the music entertainment tours that Anheuser-Busch sponsored. His appointments included such music acts as George Strait, Bobby Brown, TLC, Belle Biv DeVoe.
We've got Mary J. Blige, too.
I was just, you know, speeding it up a little. And Budweiser Superfest, before I started bumbling on my words, right? After rejecting offers to join Anheuser-Busch, Alonzo leaned on his bachelor's degree in exercise science from the University of Oklahoma and began training music entertainers who were on tour. He had, after all, completed a two-summer internship in Chicago with Michael Jordan, wow, and his private fitness trainer, Tim Grover. Among his many clients, Alonzo has trained acts such as Dixie Chicks, Boys to Men, Queens of the Stone Age, and Brownstone. After growing weary of the years of constant travel, he settled down in L.A. and became lead fitness trainer at Sony Pictures Entertainment, where he trained the talent in Sony's movie and TV productions. After a lunch meeting with Eric Logan, president of Oprah Winfrey Network, to discuss his proposed Caped Crusaders series of children's books, the idea of the Caped Crusaders Children's Foundation was born. The foundation's Kids Are Capable project launched last March at the Children's Hospital at the University of Oklahoma. It is Alonzo's sheer desire to inspire, empower, and entertain kids admitted to Children's Hospital. And he is here with us today in studio. Welcome, Alonzo.
Hello, ladies. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me. I'm having so much fun already.
Just listening to us crazy chicks.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I got work to do here.
We're the crazy chicks.
So exciting. I'm so impressed with all you've done.
Okay. So we got to, I wish people could see the cover of this book.
Oh, Missy J is incredible. She's my illustrator.
Oh, this is so cute. This is called That Medicine I Will Not Take, written by Alonzo Cannon, illustrated by, is it Missy, did you say?
Uh-huh.
Missy J. Oh,
uh-huh.
This is the cutest thing. Tell us what inspired you to write this book.
Well, you know, back in 2009, I was at home visiting my sister and my mom, and I got a text from a friend, Amy, that I knew in college, and she sent me a text, and she said, both my kids are sick. I walked into Haley's room, her daughter, and Haley jumped up on her bed, points at her mother, and says, I'm not taking that medicine. And she says, Alonzo, you have to write a story about that. And it just struck me. We were just texting for 90 minutes or more. 95% of that book was created via text. She would tell me what happened, then I would send her something, and she would send me something back, and we would just go back and forth.
Uh-huh.
It's the quickest I've ever written any book ever. Most of them take 3 months, 6 months, sometimes I'll put them down and come back a couple months later. This one hit me like nothing else had ever before or since. And so probably within 2 days, I had just about everything done. And then I had to tinker with some of the rhymes here and there. And I was going to use her daughter's name, Haley, but I couldn't find anything to rhyme with Haley. But her son's name is Preston.
Oh.
So there was Preston, intestine, congestion.
Yes.
I was like, Preston's my guy.
Oh,
I
got
to go with Preston. And so that's how the character's name became Preston, was because of her
son. It's so funny because I was wondering if like that was your son. I was like, I wonder Preston. It's so funny. It's cool
It was Amy's oldest son.
Oh, that's so
Amy's
cool.
oldest child. Yeah, so they are. The kids are just geeked that
I'm sure
that his name was used, and so it's been really a great joy to see them, you know, respond to it the way that they did.
Oh, that's
so the title is really cool, but it could be taken different ways. So what is the book actually about?
Well, it's really funny that you say that. Yeah, That Medicine I Will Not Take. It's really coming from the child's point of view. But I was at a book signing, and this woman, she's kind of stands away a little bit, and she's looking at the book, and she's kind of comes up and she says, oh, I really like that book. You know, this, you know, it's about time we have some anti-medicine things going on. It's like, oh no, it's really, it's really quite the opposite. So, but right. The book is really about this kid who just refuses to take his medicine. Uh-huh. And he goes on and he talks about all the things he would rather do than take his medicine. Not to give the whole story away, but he finally sees what he could be doing and he changes his mind.
So
well,
amazing.
I think it would just be great if you could just read a little bit of this. I, by the way, got a personal reading when I met Lonzo today.
I'm jealous.
Should have come find us earlier. Before you got here, yeah. He says, well, may I just read it to you? I'm like, oh my God, this is so much fun.
All right. So it starts off. There once was a little boy whose first name was Preston. He was feeling mighty sick in his very small intestine. It was the very first day of school's winter's break, and little Preston woke up with a horrible tummy ache. He had a sore throat and was feeling some congestion. He even had a touch of stomach indigestion. He was sick indeed. He was sick without question. On his face he wore a really sad expression. His head was clanging and his neck was stiff. His nose was so clogged that he couldn't even sniff. His fever rose as the temperature fell. He'd feel a little better if the kid could only smell. Achy all over, he moaned and he groaned. His midwinter's fun was officially postponed. Feeling queasy and wheezy with a sharp pain in his chin, the worst part of his day was just about to begin. It was then his mom, with a twinkle and a grin, came into his room with a cup of medicine. He sprung out of bed, wide-eyed and wide-awake, and shouted, "That medicine I will not take."
So great. Cute, and it keeps on going. It reminds me so much of Dr. Seuss style.
I was thinking
so
the same
simple
thing.
So easy. Yeah. I know if I read this book three times I would have it memorized. Yes. And it would just ring in my head.
Well, I was,
your kids, right?
I was just gonna say, so I told Alonzo, my son is a tough critic, and I mean that sincerely. Like, I don't make things up. He loved it. He loved
awesome.
The book. Yeah, it's very kid appealing. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I mean, obviously that was your point, but I feel like he did. He felt like it was written from, you know, a kid's perspective, which was
and
nice.
And he's seven, right?
Yeah.
Now, what about London?
I have to read it to London.
He
yeah.
hasn't read it
no,
yet.
My older son's stealing the copy. Like, my younger one can't read it yet. So, yeah. So he's hoarding it. So as soon as he lets him share it, I'm going to read it to him too.
Oh, that's awesome. That was really, I love great feedback like that. Good kid reviews are
yes,
the
exactly,
best.
Yes, exactly. Because it's true. That's your audience.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, they'll tell you what they think. And
yes.
You know, if you win them over, you know, I had friends that bought the book and they were like, my kid, she wants me to read it before she goes to school. When she comes back from school, it'll be her nap time, you know, reading.
Aww.
And her going to bed, you know, nightly story. And she just loves it and she can repeat it now.
Yeah.
And so it's really, when you have a rhythm like this one does, it's really a lot easier to help kids. I mean, not only mm-hmm. is it, you know, it's an educational,
sure.
little perspective as well. So, you know, there's really lots to like about this book.
That's yeah. neat. Now, do you have a writing background from some other part of your life?
No, you know, I was, especially when I was on tour, you know, I was the geek on tour with the dictionary. I just loved words. Mm-hmm. And in college, I think if I had known what I could have done with a journalism degree besides, you know, write for my local, you know, newspaper, I probably would have gone into probably broadcast journalism. But I just love words. I love reading. I love stories. But I didn't know if there was, I couldn't think of a way I could really make money doing it. And so I wrote a screenplay that I submitted to a production company, and they do coverage on what you submit, and you wait for them to give your coverage back to tell them, so they can tell you what's all wrong with your story. But anyway, so during that time, I didn't have anything else to work on because they had what I was working on. So a friend said, you know, why don't you just try writing a children's book, you know, while you have some downtime. Mm. And so I did. And the first couple really stunk, but I love the process of it, especially mm-hmm. the rhyming process of it,
sure.
trying to figure it out. Still creative, but it still has rules.
And yeah.
it's like math, you know, there is a definite answer. And with writing and books, it's very subjective. But when you have something that rhymes, at least there are some rules that you know you have to follow, and you know that you're on the right path.
The
right, the whole
yeah.
thing. Yeah,
it's
once you
like
get
a
that,
song.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
no, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know it may stink as far as what the story's all about, but at least you know that it works.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can make it work and it's a good story, then I think you got something.
Sure.
So this
yeah.
was not your first effort?
No, you know, well, because, you know, I knew kind of going in, since, you know, I was a non-celebrity, I was not famous, you know, I didn't have a sex tape out there. And so I knew it was going to be really hard for me to get a to get a book deal. And so I knew that if I came in with a series, at least, you know, five or six that I could show a publisher, then they would take me more seriously. They could see, oh, well, this has promise. I mean, I like the first one, but I also like the second, third, fourth, and fifth one as well. And so I actually have 15 that are already written.
Whoa.
Because before
oh
I even
God.
Really started looking for an agent or, you know, any type of representation, I really wanted to have, you know, a catalog that I could just really. So if the first one hit, you know, I wouldn't be under pressure to write the next one.
You already
sure.
have
and so
them.
It's,
yeah.
it's already there. So yeah. now I have years before right. I even have to write another one right. for what
more?
I have.
Here,
yeah, absolutely. What do you want next? What do you want next? So, yeah, so we have, there's one called I Have So Many Toys I Don't Know What to Do.
Oh, I need that.
This is great.
There's another one called Stone, the Kid Who Wouldn't Give Up. That is really, I love both of those, but that one's really dear to me. And then the next one that's coming out will be in late spring, this early summer, called I'll, as in I Will, that I'm really excited about. I think that has a lot of potential.
Neat, so cool. neat. So yeah. what inspires these other topics?
All right, listen, Hog, over there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Do I belong over here?
Well, it's payback time.
I swear to God. I'll excuse you. You two can have the room. I'll see you on the other, see you guys in a little bit.
Well, Kelly's usually the question hog, so I'm just taking my turn. Go for it, babe.
Okay, so I want to know about the nonprofit and how it started, and if you can tell people a little bit about that, because I think that's absolutely fabulous.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when... The way that I met Eric Logan, he's the president of the Oprah Winfrey Network. I was working out at a gym. The gym that I work out has four different locations. I went to the one that I go to the very least, which is like three or four times a year. And I happened to have Oklahoma Sooner shorts on that I was working out in. And I was finished with my workout. I was going back to the locker room, and I hear this guy say, "Hey, Sooner." And I turn around, and this guy is waving this Oklahoma Sooner water bottle. So I go there, and we start talking. And this is back in 2013, I believe. Oklahoma had just beaten Texas or Kansas in basketball the night before. And we were kind of talking about that. And then we started just talking. And then he finally introduces himself. He says, "Hi, my name is Eric Logan." And I'm like, "Oh, my God, this is Eric Logan." And he goes on to say, and he says, "I'm the president of the Oprah Winfrey Network," which I knew. I knew who Eric Logan was, and I knew what he did. I just know that guy was Eric Logan.
Sure, sure.
But Eric's from Oklahoma. Oh. And so I knew we had some mutual friends in contact, our mutual friends that we had in common. And as a first-time author or a burgeoning first-time author, you know, the thing to do was to get in touch with Oprah. How do I get in touch with Oprah?
Of course.
And then you start doing your research to find out, well, who do I know is connected with Oprah? And then, you know, this name kept coming up.
Yeah.
And so I knew who he was. I just didn't know that guy was him.
Yeah.
And so we started talking, and ultimately he says, "Well, what are you working on?" And I told him about this children's series of children's book that I was working on. He says, "Well, here's my card. Email me some of your stories.
Wow.
Maybe I can help you out." And so I emailed him certainly that morning. And then he emailed me back that day. And he says, "I really like these. Do you want to have lunch?" And so I said, "Yeah, that'd be really great." And so we have lunch, and we're talking about this story in particular. And I said, you know, once I get an agent and once I get a publisher, a really cool promotion would be, since the kid in the book gets a cape. In all my stories, when a kid does something awesome, they magically get a cape. So this kid finally decides to take his medicine, so he gets a cape. So I said, you know, once I get a publisher, a cool promotion would be to give away the book and the superhero capes to kids who are admitted to children's hospitals, and we could do it at the University of Oklahoma's Children's Hospital. And so he says, "This is my advice to you. I would, one, self-publish the book so you can keep all your rights. The traditional way of publishing is so archaic, you're not going to make any money, blah, 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 blah." And he said, "But secondly, I really like this promotion idea, but why don't you turn that into a nonprofit organization?" And that's what you'd do. You'd be the president of this nonprofit organization, and you'd give away this book in the superhero capes, and so you'd find donors and corporations and things of that nature. So that's how it all kind of started.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It is. It's such a serendipitous meeting.
It was really cool. And so we launched our first partner, the University of Oklahoma Children's Hospital, in March of last year. And so that was just totally amazing. And now we have Children's Hospital Los Angeles wanting to partner with us.
Oh,
and
cool.
So we're looking for a corporate sponsor to underwrite that particular project. And we have Children's Hospital at Metafore in the Bronx who wants to do it. Dell's Children's Hospital in Austin, Texas, they're interested in doing it. So I think that the more that we get out there, we'll find more and more hospitals who are eager to do this project. And so the biggest thing, obviously, is the funding of something like this.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, actually, 100% of the proceeds from the sales of this book goes back to the foundation help us buy more books and more capes. But we also take donations through the website. Uh-huh. We're also looking for corporate donors, things of that nature.
Can you give us the website, by the way, so that people
www.caped, that's CAPED, kidsaders, KIDSADERS, foundation.org.
Okay, great. That's so cool. All right, now you're scared to ask a question, aren't you? You're scared to talk. I've muted
I've been
you.
Silenced. I know where I'm at now.
Stop it.
It's your show. If you did just tune in, we have a very special guest today, Alonzo Cannon, in studio with us and available for any calls at 323-203-0815. Do you have kids?
No kids. Single, never married, no kids. I have two older sisters that took care of the kid grandparent things for my
Perfect.
Parents. So
You're
there's
the
no
uncle.
Pressure. I'm the uncle of four of amazing nieces, and so two are in college and two are in high school. Or actually, no, two out of college. Two in high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always feel like the uncle or the aunt is the best.
Oh.
Job
the best role
ever.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if I could just be there, it's like the perfect gig because you get all the fun and none of the work, you know? It's
and
like,
they think you're so cool. So,
and they
you know,
love you. You
sure.
Do no wrong. It's perfect. That's a great, great thing.
But have you always been curious about children's behavior and all that kind of stuff to be writing about kids?
You know, no, you just I just love Shel Silverstein. I love Dr. Seuss. And they were always, you know, very, I was, you know, I loved their works as a kid, and so they just kind of always stuck with me. And so when someone suggested to write a book, well, why would I write it any other way? But, you know, mm-hmm. by the people who influenced me. And so it was a really – and it just seems like you can check your work. Like I said, you know, it has that the checks and balances of rhyming sure. – you know, the cadence, the rhythm, the theme, you know, that whole thing. And so you feel like you're on to something once you kind of finally lock in.
Sure.
How did you find your illustrator?
I was just going to ask that. I swear to God, it was so funny.
We're on it. That's
yeah.
it.
Well, you know, I had this guy that I was working with for the longest time, and his name is Ryan. And Ryan came up with some really great stuff. And he was living in Colorado. He was from the University of Oklahoma as well, but then he was freelancing at the time. Then he got a full-time job, and then he got a promotion, and then he got engaged, and then he had no time whatsoever to freelance anymore. So I had to find a new illustrator, which took me about 8 or 9 months. But I was in Texas visiting Amy, actually the person who sent me the text about the book. Uh-huh. And so I was visiting another friend there who I hadn't seen in 20 years. And I was telling her what I was doing, and I was looking for an illustrator. And she goes, oh, well, then you have to meet my friend Missy J. She was from the University of Oklahoma. They were pledge sister, I think.
Sorority.
Yeah, sorority. They were tri-delts is what they were. Anyway, she says, you have to meet Missy J. And so I emailed Missy. She lived in Austin. She still lives in Austin. And I emailed her the story. She says, I love this. Just let me send you something. Usually when you do something like that, you know, they want money up front for a sample or whatever.
Oh,
that could cost $250 or $500 per sample or whatever it is. She was like, I won't charge you a thing. Just let me do something here.
Oh,
and
neat.
She sent me something back that just totally blew me away. And I was like, you're my girl. And so she went to work on it and did a fantastic job. And she's working on number two.
Oh, cool.
And she'll be the, you know, The look of the book is very tied into the Kidsader brand, and so she'll be my illustrator throughout.
Nice.
Yeah, she's really a lot of fun.
It seems like people are a lot nicer. It warms their hearts when you're doing something for children.
Yeah, you know? People really, they really kind of warm up to it. They really like it right away. And when they find out that, you know, especially, you know, 100% of the proceeds or any percentage of the sales go back to the foundation, they're even more, you know, their eyes light up even more. They really like it. And so anyway, yeah, Missy's she's wonderful.
Oh,
and actually we've only met once, and that was at the launch. Since we've done all this stuff via internet and phone and things of that nature.
Does she have kids?
She has, Ruby.
Okay.
Little Ruby,
Little Ruby, young child?
Such a cute name.
She's adorable.
How old is she?
Ruby, I think, is in the second grade. So whatever grade.
It's like my son, seven. That's good. So
is Remy in second grade already?
Holy
crazy. Wow.
I know.
It's weird.
Yes.
Oh, it's so lovely when they all grow up.
My kids are still not sleeping, by the way. It's like, it's killing me. My kids, every night, they come into my bed. That should be another book.
Well, it's not that. It's called I'm Never Going to Sleep.
Perfect.
Is the name.
I will endorse it heavily because, seriously, I always joke, my older son, like, if he could be in my womb, like, he would. Like, if it was like, hey, do you want to be in my womb? Hang out? Sure, he would.
So
like,
maybe he was a kangaroo in another life.
100% could see that. But, yeah, they're still not sleeping.
He hops like one.
He does, doesn't he? That's funny. But, yeah, I'm, like, wondering when it's going to end because this is crazy. But
and when it does, you're going to be heartbroken when
it's
does.
It's true. You're so right because it is true. Like, I know I will miss it. That's the
You know
part.
What, though? Yeah. You're actually coming up on a developmental time when a lot of kids actually go back to wanting to be in their parents'
bed. Oh, really?
So between, like, 8 and 10, very common nightmares, fears of the dark, all those kinds of things.
Really?
You have a Fear of the Dark book?
I'm Never Going to Bed is actually about nightmares.
It is. Okay. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I want an advanced copy now.
Yeah. Well, I'll read it to you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Do you do audio versions also?
We'll eventually get to that point.
That'd be great.
I think once we start getting more wonderful opportunities like this radio interview, we'll be able to get more people involved.
Sure.
And I think the book sales will start skyrocketing once we get more exposure. So that's what we're kind of working on for 2017.
Yeah. So those are the goals.
And more hospitals. Yeah.
So what does the Children's Foundation actually do? Tell us more about the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah. Well, it's really simple, which is really great for a guy like me. But so what we do, we partner with children's hospitals. So we approach a certain hospital that we were kind of interested in. For whatever reasons, and it's not as simple as you think. They don't let anyone come in and pass out books. If the books have to pass
inspection.
Inspection. Mm-hmm. Is this something that we want to teach our kids? Is this something that we believe in? Is this something that's part of our our teaching techniques that does it fall in line with our ideology of what we do in this hospital?
Sure.
And that goes through a lot of different departments.
Yeah.
And then they look over the cape, and is this something that is it safe? Do they keep it? That whole thing. And so each hospital is able to customize it how they want to do it. And so it's a pretty rigorous test you have to go through, which is why we're so excited and honored that CHLA, one of the top five children's hospital in the country, wants to do this. And, that's a huge feather in our cap to,
absolutely,
withstand their vetting
scrutiny.
Process.
Yeah,
it's not an easy thing. And so so the biggest part is calling, finding the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Submitting it, and the more that we do it, we know which departments that we kind of want to go through. Mainly, mm-hmm, the Child Life Department is the department that kind of hosts the project. And mm-hmm, when kids come in, they give them the cape and they give them the book. Mm-hmm. But then you have to go through for instance, Dawn Wilcox has been a true champion at CHLA. She is the president of corporate sponsorships, and that's another. Mm-hmm. Person that we would love to get in touch with at certain hospitals, because they know, they have a history of knowing who donates, where it comes from.
Sure.
They can get other corporations involved. They present them with the idea. Is this something that your corporation's interested in? That type of a thing.
And since you went the self-publishing route, is it almost impossible to get into like Barnes & Noble and some of the brick and mortar?
Yeah, you know, it is because, well, we really, you know, as an author, you know, that's kind of tied into your psyche, is that you want to get into Barnes & Noble. I mean, that is like right. The
sure,
thing. You
sure.
know, you want to do that.
Yeah.
And so I was able to submit to them. They did accept the book.
Oh.
They did want it. And I thought, oh, great. We'll just ship you some books. But you have to go through one of their distributors.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And so now you have to sell the distributor on the idea of carrying the book, because they not only want to give it to Barnes & Noble, mm-hmm. they want to do it with, you know, airport bookstores. They want to do it with libraries. They want to do it with, you know, a different wide variety of locations where they could actually sell the book. And so you have to sell them on the idea that, you know, to put your manpower behind it. But we couldn't get the deal that we actually wanted with the distributor that would, you know, make sense for the foundation. So we declined to take that offer. So I think that once we get into, you know, more exposure, we'll see an increase in sales. Mm-hmm. We can go back to the distributor, say, hey, this book is really selling.
Yeah.
Then we can get a better deal.
Sure.
And you know, get them on, you know, get them working for us. Yeah. They have this, they have two different plans. One is a distribution by request.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a sales force. Excuse me. So the distribution by request is, you know, they'll stock it and they'll have it, but Barnes & Noble would have to request to have it in their stores, mm-hmm. or an airport bookstore would have to request, you know, to have it there.
Sure.
And so that means that I would have to go and drum up those sales because they're not doing it. And so it's like, well, why would I do that when I can just drum up sales and have them come to our website and they can just buy it and we'd get 100% of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the sales force, which is the other plan, is they have a Salesforce team that goes out to these different accounts, to the Barnes & Nobles, to the airports, to hospital gift shops, and say, hey, you need to buy this book, and this is why. That is the plan that we were hoping to get. But we, you know, like I said, we're just kind of starting out, and we're just not in that league yet.
Sure.
But we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we would love to have it in brick-and-mortar stores, and we would love to do, I would love to do a, obviously, it's all author's dreams to do a book tour and things of that nature, nature, which we would call, I already have it down, the Cold and Flu Tour.
Oh,
and
Cold
so
and Flu Tour.
It could be sponsored by CVS or Walmart or Walgreens. And we could hand out like a coupon for 20% off your next medicine purchase or something like that. There's so many ways.
Yeah.
This is such a fun book and such a fun project to tie in other corporations to go along with it. It's a pharmaceutical company. Like I said, any drug chain store, your CVS's and your Walmart and your Walgreens, things of that nature. Johnson & Johnson, General Electric, Procter & Gamble, things of that nature.
Sure.
But there are so many different ways that you could tie, you know, some sort of marketing into whatever corporation decided to kind of sign on. But the Code and Flu Tour, we're just all over
I
that.
Love that.
Oh, I love it, too.
Yeah.
Achoo!
Yeah. Or if we did it with something with Barnes & Nobles, it could be Starbucks, for instance. You can get 20% off your next drink because all Starbucks are in Barnes & Nobles and things of that nature.
Sure.
So if any corporation has some sort of community outreach that deals with kids or health, wellness, education, literacy, things of that nature, this is the one-stop shopping.
Cool. Well, what about like the American Pediatric Society or something like that? Like getting them interested, maybe they
pediatricians buy this book 10, 20 at a time for their waiting rooms. They absolutely love it. To tie in with the American Academy of Pediatricians would be phenomenal.
Yeah,
we should put him in touch with the guest that we had.
Yes,
Baby Care Anywhere.
He was so lovely, this doctor, and he wrote a book. And that would be a good partnership.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I would love that.
I mean,
no.
I don't know what he could do for you, but he's been around. He's got a very popular book.
Yeah. Yeah, pediatricians, they really take to this book. And in fact, a friend of mine from Oklahoma sent me a snapshot. She had taken her kid to the rheumatologist, I think.
Uh-huh.
And the book was in their waiting room. And so she took a picture of herself with the book. And she goes, I'm so proud of you. This is so awesome. But oh my gosh, I was just, made my day.
Because you're going to give me the extra one, I want to give it to my pediatrician's office.
Oh, absolutely.
Too. Yes.
More than happy
to. Okay, cool. That would be great.
No,
yeah, because I
wonderful.
Think it'd be so great. I mean, to help other parents out there.
Absolutely.
It's like anything,
well, that's the
you know?
Thing. It's, yeah. it helps both, you know, both parties,
yes.
the parents and the kids. I mean, the parents get what they want in the
yes.
end. The kid's taking their medicine, then the kid gets this really fun wow. little story to tell, and
sure.
You know, they get to kind of voice their, you know, the things they would rather do than take their medicine.
Yes,
so.
Exactly.
But in the end, yeah.
Like a grassroots buzz we're going to get going on here.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
and
so
in
funny.
Fact, I'm even going to do a call to action with our audience. If anybody has a media outlet themselves or does anything in podcasting or television, get a hold of us so we can put you in touch with Alonzo.
That'd be great. I do.
Get him on your show.
Exactly.
He's got to spread this root. That I'm telling you, this is the cutest book since Dr. Seuss books. I've not
I know,
seen
it's so
a
great.
Children's book. This adorable.
I am. I mean, that's such. You know,
I
don't
I
take that lightly. That's really sweet.
Time.
That is really sweet. No, she was laughing.
Like belly laughing, giggle, belly laughing. It just is like wow. That's
Preston
so
is
adorable.
A character. No, he's he's really a lot of fun. And so we you know we really like what you know what he kind of stands for, and
sure.
He goes about it in such a great way.
Well, what I love is that you captured for parents because parents go through this with their young children all the time. The bargaining children will say. Well, if I'll not, I won't do that, or I'll give up that, or I'll do this, or I'll do that.
But mom, what about this? But mom, what about that? What if I did this instead? Or what about this?
Right.
You know,
and they're
five
relentless.
More minutes.
Yes, it's like they have an ever-ready battery that never shuts
down.
Oh
my gosh, the ideas that they come through their heads of things that they would rather do than what they were supposed to do, whether it's take out the trash or you know whatever it is, whatever it is. But I think you know all kids obviously get sick, and all kids have to take medicine. And so this is something that is familiar to the kids and very familiar with the parents, and both come out very happy at the very at the end of the book. So
I want to ask one question. So are you still training also? Like, is that something that you do also?
Well, yeah, that still pays the bill. So that kind of keeps the financial boat afloat. So you know, once I left Sony, what I did was I built my private clientele portfolio up to the point where I didn't need the Sony gig anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to people's homes who have gyms in their homes. And I go from one house to the next house to the next house. There are some clients that I've had for 10 years, others I have for 8 years. And they all have, you know, they all have gyms inside their homes. And so I just go in there, we do our thing. And,
That's so cool. I'm sure you have some crazy stories about that too.
Oh man, it's really a lot of fun. They're very, very sweet people. Most of them are in the entertainment industry. And, and so that's, so that's great. I've benefited, well from that. And so it's been really nice to, not only have clients, but have friends. And, I go to Christmas dinners and New Year's Eve parties and things of that nature with them all. And they're all very sweet and very supportive of what I'm doing. And, it's really, they've
heard
me talk about it for so many years.
Finally, it's here.
Really fun. I don't know if you've even done this. Have you ever asked any of these maybe higher end profile people to host a book signing, inviting all of their friends to come?
Well, I have to do something. One thing that I'm really excited about with this particular book, and since you guys kind of know what the story is and the rhythm of it, is this video reading initiative.
Okay.
And so what it is, it all kind of started with this idea that I pitched to the NBA called Dunkin' for Kids. For every dunk that happens in the NBA season, they donate $100 to our foundation. And as a potential corporate sponsor, Dunkin' Donuts, Dunkin' for Kids, would match that
just
donation.
Saying, right?
Yeah, just saying, Dunkin' Donuts,
exactly.
If you're out there. I know you love kids because they eat your donuts. But Dunkin' Donuts would match that donation. So it's $200 per dunk, and each team in the NBA gets to choose their own children's hospital in their own communities that will receive the books and the capes. So a way to promote that would be there are 15 players on each team, I believe. 15 players on each team. So each player would stand in front of a green screen and read the book off of a teleprompter. In post-production, we would project the images of the book onto the green screen. So that's 15 different videos that we would have. And then we would splice together the 15 videos into a single video, so it would be a team reading of the book.
Wow.
So multiply that by 30, because there are 30 teams in the NBA. That's how many videos we would have. Oh. So then we take those videos, put them on our YouTube channel that we would create, and kids at any hospital in any sick bed can go to this our YouTube channel and watch their favorite NBA player or NBA team read them the book many times as they wanted to, over and over again. The players wouldn't have to continuously go. No, we would love the players to continually go to hospitals, but this way. Any kid in any hospital can go to this. So then we could launch that out not only in the NBA, but we could go to obviously the NFL and, you know, other sports leagues. But, you know, I think The Rock would be so perfect at reading the story.
Yeah.
Steven Tyler, I think, would be great. Taylor Swift, I think, would be really good. But it's a way for them to record this reading of the book that would, you know, not only entertain kids, but also inspire them to take their medicine, do whatever it needs, sure. to be done to, you know, to get better, to have better health.
Yeah.
And so it's really a fun little thing. So that's another thing that we're also working on. And then because of the hits that we feel that we would get from that YouTube channel, from the videos, we could start selling ad space for Walmart or Walgreens or pharmaceuticals or whoever deals with kids. And then we would be making the foundation would be making money off of ad revenue that would go back to the foundation that would help us buy more books and more capes to keep this thing going. And so
cool. I love your ideas.
Yeah. That's really a lot. That's a fun one. I mean, to think of Steven Tyler reading this book, but just because they don't have to, you know, they're not holding the book, they're reading it off a teleprompter. Mm-hmm. So they're not turning pages, they're just performing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I really think musicians would really enact. Sure. Would do really Kid Rock, I think, would
they
blow
it away.
They could
probably make a song to it.
Yeah, no, it's very rhymy, very rhythmical. Oh, absolutely. And so it's really, you know, the ideas are there. It's going to take a little time to get them all implemented, but, you know, I'm in it for the long haul.
It's so funny because you remind me of The Rock. It's so funny you said that the first one. Like, don't you feel, did you see that a little bit? Like,
I'm not nearly as big or wealthy as The Rock, but there are maybe some other similarities. But
it's so funny.
How tall is he?
He's probably what? Like 6'3"?
Oh, he has to be 6'3", 6'5", something like that.
But you're tall.
I'm like 6'2", though.
Well, oh, my God.
He's 6'2". He's like wide. He's big. He's
so funny.
He's broad.
Did you play basketball?
I played basketball for a little bit, but nothing.
Not pro.
No.
Not college.
Barely college. A little bit of college, and then I transferred.
Barely college? If you played college, you played legit.
Well, at a small NAIA school, then I transferred to the University of Oklahoma.
Too
where
humble.
I
yes,
knew
I know.
I could not play at the University of Oklahoma. There's no way. But but I did get a good education there, and I did meet some very, very wonderful friends that actually are part of my board of directors.
So that's
helped me a lot there. But I really think that this is we're just barely scratching the surface with this thing, and I really feel like even Mattel would be a great Mattel or Hasbro or someone like that. But I really think we're just scratching barely started with this whole thing. So I think that we can get this in hundreds of children's hospitals. And I think that kids would really benefit from it.
Yeah. And when did you actually publish this book?
I wrote it in 2009, but I didn't publish it until 2015, I believe. September. Mm-hmm. Yeah, September of 2015. So it was a year, 2016. Yes.
So the book came first, then the foundation.
The book came first.
Yeah.
I wrote the story back in 2009. Yeah. I didn't meet Eric, and the idea of the foundation didn't come up until 2013 or 14.
Wow. So on the website, kidsadersfoundation.org, do you have pictures of your books and things like that?
I have a video of the launch at the Children's Hospital at the University of Oklahoma. So you can see this fun little video that's maybe 70 seconds long, but it encapsulates everything. And if that doesn't make you smile, then I think that you've probably passed on. I think it's really a sweet little video that the hospital put together.
Is that the one you showed me?
Yes, that's the one I showed you. Yeah. And so you get to see exactly what we do, and something that I think that we could, you know, do in a lot of different places.
So you've already implemented it in the
It's working.
Are the kids responding? Are they like
really
know?
Well? You know, yeah. The kids just really kind of get it. You know,
yeah.
And so the fact that you know, in all my stories except for the second one coming up, there's this introduction statement that says no one knows exactly how capes magically appear on the kids of Cape City, but it happens the moment they do feats of awesomeness. These cape wearing dynamos are called Cape Kidsaders. So anytime a kid does something awesome in one of my books, they magically get a cape.
Yeah.
So in this particular book, obviously when he takes his medicine, he gets a cape. There when I have so many toys I don't know what to do, when they come to the point where they do that feat of awesomeness, mm-hmm. they magically get a cape. And so kids kind of dig that, you know, and so
yeah.
to know that there's, you know, they become a superhero yes. because of it, because of
so
something that they've done,
yes.
not because of a special power they have, not for running fast mm-hmm. or jumping or being invisible or flying or anything like that. It's something that they've actually done.
Yeah.
And that could be taking your medicine, could be giving away a toy. It could be, you know.
Like an act. Yeah, I love that.
Especially yeah. about the medicine thing. I know some people listen and they go, we don't want our kids to take medicine kind of thing. And it's the book isn't really advocating for any particular kind of medicine. It's simply saying yeah. that whatever's going to help your child get better, how so this
you
will help any child who's resistant to what it is that you're trying to do for them.
Absolutely.
To help them help
well,
themselves.
Because my kids take herbs, like
yeah,
liquid herbs,
sure.
and
whatever.
It's disgusting,
yeah.
you know,
sure.
and so it's the same
Absolutely.
Thing. That's why they could relate yeah. to it.
It yeah. Medicine, it can be loosely defined as, it could be cough syrup, it could be chemotherapy, it could be herbs,
yes.
it could be food.
Right.
Yeah.
Food
right.
can be a medicine.
Sure.
Yes.
And so if that's the way you introduce food and medicine and taking care of yourself into your family, that eating well, you know, helps with that. Helps,
sure.
you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this book still
so?
Applies. That's what they
say. Has anybody ever really
you
tested
know?
That?
Yeah.
I've heard an apple a day before meals can make you like not eat as much or something like that. That's what I've heard about apples as far as like the
lots of fiber. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. It
yeah.
fills you up. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause you're a fitness guy.
Which
yeah.
kind of apple?
I don't think
is it
matters.
Red apple or I'm just being silly.
Yeah. Those Granny Smith apples, I tell you what.
I'm just not an apple person.
Are you serious?
I,
it's such a,
I am serious.
No, it's
with
who doesn't
butter?
Like apples?
With peanut butter? No, I just
really?
I don't know.
Right?
Oh my god, it's so funny because I feel like apples like the most like
oranges.
Easy,
I love.
Like oh really?
This so you know fun. What? I need to eat more apples though. But today I actually bought myself figs. My daughter
oh,
has like
figs.
Gotten me addicted. To figs.
Figs are so
they're
good.
So
oh,
good.
Cooked,
instead of like chocolate, because
oh,
I'm not doing well with chocolate, whatever it is, it causes so much phlegm. And then I have to take medicine.
Wait, chocolate?
And I'm not taking
dark.
Yeah, exactly. You need the book.
That's so
yeah,
fun.
For whatever reason. So I need to find something sweet that I
yeah,
really like.
Exactly.
So they have these spicy dried mangoes too with chili powder
oh.
at Sprouts. Oh, they're delicious. And figs. So that's my new candy.
Mm, I'll have to give that a shot.
So how are people going to buy this book?
Well, they can go to the website, mm-hmm. www.capekidsadersfoundation.org. There's a link that there's the shop link, and you just hit that link,
okay.
and then that'll take you through the process. And since I'm kind of like a one-man band here, I fulfill all the orders. So there's a space or a part in the ordering process where mm-hmm. if you want to have the book inscribed to your child or to someone in particular or to yourself, then you can put that person's name
oh, cool.
in there, and then I'll sign it and package
Aww.
It up and take it to the post office Aww. And put it in the mail.
Oh,
beautiful.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
So
so we hope after this show you get inundated
yes.
with orders.
I hope so, too.
That's what I'm
I hope so,
too.
Too.
It's just so wonderful what you're doing. You're so
Thank
sweet,
you so much.
Really.
It's really a lot of fun, and it's really just a sense of satisfaction to be able to do something that you really love and something that
yeah.
you've created and have people embrace it. And not only that, something that will help kids and
sure.
You know, go to a nonprofit. It's been
so
really,
curiously, I don't know if you're up for this, and I know this is spontaneous,
sure.
but is there some way that people, if they contacted you to buy the book, if they said that they heard you on this show, that you'd give them a 10% discount?
I will do
that.
Like that. Absolutely.
No pressure.
I
so
will do that.
What will be the code word? LA Talk Radio.
It would
or?
Be Therapist Kelly and Dr. Deborah.
Okay.
He put you first.
I see, because he knew that I felt bad about the beginning of the show. He knew.
It's not the show name.
That's okay. I'm all right with that. I'm cool with that one.
Just put that in.
Either way, there's
a spot where you can you can have a little comment, or if you want to send
Kelly
a message.
Kelly or Deborah. Yeah,
there
exactly.
we go.
Yeah.
I will give you a 10% discount.
Cool. Awesome.
Yay. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, ladies. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you so much. We are talking with Alonzo Cannon, and go check out his website and this adorable book, That Medicine I Will Not Take. I love it. KateKidSadersFoundation.org. And if you missed that, we'll put it up on our little blurb on LA Talk Radio site so you can find it.
Thanks a lot, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next week. Yes.
Now, is that a typo or is it?
His name is Stephen Powers. He's from the Bodhi Tree.
It's the Bodhi Tree.
I never pronounce it right. How do you
say it? Where I did my first book signing, at the Bodhi Tree. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I am serious,
That's
yes.
so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So anyway.
And celebrating anniversary of, quote, autobiography of a yogi.
Oh, that is a typo.
That is a typo.
That's my typo.
That's your typo.
Autobiography of a yogi. That's like a really famous book. So
yes.
they're doing
so
the anniversary
the
of it.
In there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant something else. Yeah.
Is it autobiography or autography?
Yes. Autobiography. Yeah, it's a typo.
Autobiography.
Yes.
All right. Cool. Kelly, have a beautiful week. Everybody, have a beautiful week. Love you.
Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.